afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Silver 7 Radio from silver7sense.com. You're listening to Peter Raymakers along with Mark Parisi. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing awesome, Peter. How are you?
Doing pretty well. We're just coming to the end, just saw the end, that is, of a five-game road trip, which wasn't a very good week this week. The Sens were 1-3 in four road games through southern United States. Most recently was an overtime win over the Anaheim Ducks, but it's been a pretty disappointing five-game road trip with a 1-3-1 record. What do you have to say about the road trip looking back on it, Mark?
Definitely a frustrating road trip to watch, especially they came into San Jose. I didn't think that they had a chance to win that game, but they hung with them for a while and then gave it away on penalties. And then, you know, they turn around and they take the play to the Kings and lose a game, penalties. Then skate into Phoenix, where I watched the game and didn't try for the first 56 minutes of the game, and then scored two goals in the last 4 minutes. And you wonder where the effort level was for most of this road trip, but they closed out with a win in Anaheim at the end of the week, and it was a much needed win. But I think in all of those games, Elliott let in at least one soft goal.
Yeah, his performance this past week was not very inspiring or confidence-inspiring. He did let in some weak goals. We just finished watching the Anaheim game, and two of the three were both definitely stoppable, and the other one was unlucky, but he still could have stopped it had he not fallen over when the puck was rimmed around the boards and bounced off the stanchion. And a bunch of the people who were talking about the game on the website were talking about why we haven't seen Mike Brodeur start. I'm not sure if he's necessarily any better than Brian Elliott, but maybe even just for a change in net. Do you think we might be better off giving Brodeur a start one of these games?
Boy, you know, that's a really good question, Peter. Considering how soft Elliott looked at all points throughout these games, I'm personally surprised that we didn't see Brodeur in either Sunday night. I felt that there was a chance that they would put him in for the second period against Phoenix on Saturday, considering how soft both of the goals that he gave up in that first period were. I think it speaks pretty strongly to the team's confidence level in Brodeur, though. He's only coming in an emergency if Elliott can't play.
Yeah, I don't really think we're going to see Mike Brodeur play a game. I think that if he was going to play, he would have played Sunday in Anaheim. So given that he didn't, I don't think we'll see him. And I think Elliott's going to just have to take the ball and run with it unless something huge happens, which I doubt will happen.
I'm in full agreement with you there. So then the question we discussed right before the show is, should we lay the blame on some of these losses at the feet of Elliott?
I think you can definitely lay a fair amount of the blame with Elliott. I don't. You can never lay the entire blame on one player, but he definitely didn't. You know, he certainly didn't win any games for them. He may have lost a couple of them. The Phoenix game in particular, I suppose. Do you think fair? Do you think it's fair to put the blame on Elliott?
I think that you know. Considering the effort level of different 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 level of different, but I think he deserves the majority of it. Yeah, and between Boston, San Jose, that Ottawa gave up the first goal early in all four of those games, and against Los Angeles and Phoenix, you know, it was 2-0 before the first period was even 10 minutes old.
It's Yeah, as I said, it doesn't inspire very much confidence in his abilities that he keeps. And it brings us back to Martin Gerber the last couple of years. You know, the team around him, you could see sort of this just general disappointment when one of those goals goes in. It's just sort of the air gets let out of the team and they look disappointed. And at the start of the game tonight, I really noticed a lot of forwards playing down deep in the zone, like as if they were afraid to make any defensive errors. And that was something that characterized the team's play last year when they just couldn't get anything done because by the time they got the puck out of the defensive end, after working so hard to try and not let anything happen, they'd be tired and not be able to get any offensive pressure done.
Yeah, it's really an interesting thing. And one of the things that I saw Saturday night against Phoenix was Alfredson in the offensive zone playing back behind the blue line, covering for Carlson in case the puck got by him. That was very interesting to see, but I don't know if it was the camera angles against Anaheim or just circumstances, but I didn't see any of that the next night. So the confidence level, I think, of the team in general is pretty shaky right now.
I think so, too. And I think that it probably should be, but I think maybe it's a good time for the road trip to be coming to an end, although they won't have a very long homestand. They're back at home on Tuesday against Montreal and then back out on the road a couple days later. But, you know, they got out of a five-game road trip that was definitely a challenging road trip with 3 out of 10 possible points, which is definitely not good, but it's better than it could be, and they're still in seventh place in the Eastern Conference. So they haven't, you know, damaged themselves too much in the playoff run. But speaking of Erik Karlsson, who you were just mentioning, he's definitely shown perhaps, I don't know if you want to say confidence or if you want to say overconfidence, but I've noticed really been playing very high in the zone. And that's something that you noticed definitely on the Phoenix night on the Phoenix game when Daniel Alfredson was covering for him in the defensively. What do you have to say about Karlsson so far?
Yeah, I think that Carlson's play has been much better since his call-up. In that Phoenix game, he was directly responsible for the second goal. You know, I don't want to fault him too much. He's a rookie, and he just has to learn the NHL game. You know, watching his play, you could watch down the line of his passes and see that exactly what he was trying to do offensively and just get it to the open man to try and generate a shot. And it's just that, you know, the Phoenix players could see it too, and he kept putting pucks on their sticks. So I think that he's growing, and it's noticeable. I hate to lay the blame at the foot of the kid, you know, because he's a rookie, and the only way to grow is to go through the motions. But there's ups and downs. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. Was there a million-dollar question? Was that Carlson-related for this week? Or
it is not Carlson-related. If you're ready for it, I don't know if you're sitting down or not.
Oh, well, let's give it a shot. Let's see how it is.
All right. If you could trade Spezza for Cogliano and Penner right now, would you do it?
Flat out no. I think Spezza has the potential to be an elite player in the league, and I don't think either Penner or Cogliano do, so I would not take that trade, no. Would you make that trade?
I'm on the fence about it. I really am. I love Spezza. I love his defensive work, but he's not clicking this year, and I don't know. I have to say probably if push came to shove, my answer would be no, but I think that we just have to be patient and wait for guys like Chichu and Kovalev to get off the books to grow some new young talent. But I think the team really needs to add a good young forward to the lineup quickly.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. But I think looking at the future, there are no big prospects, offensive prospects coming up through the system. And Spezza is one of few players we have signed long-term who we have seen generate offense on his own. And he's definitely not doing it right now. But I don't think that trading him right now for a couple players like Dustin Penner and Andrew Cogliano, Penner who is having a good season this year but has had bad seasons in the past, and Cogliano who's very much unproven, I don't think that really helps us out very much. It may give us a bit more offensive depth this year, but it definitely doesn't help us long-term, I don't think.
I don't know. You know, if Cogliano grows into a first-line center, that would be a benefit. I mean, obviously, short-term, you're looking at the points differential between the two. Presumably, that would add some offense, but I don't know. the bottom line is that the Senators need to get Spezza going.
Yeah, definitely. And there's no question about that. And they won't start winning consistently until Spezza gets going, because without Spezza, there's still only one line, and that one line isn't as lethal as the one line that the Senators have relied on so much in the past. I mean, the McCulloch-Alfredson-Fisher line, if that's the current, you know, the current version of it, isn't nearly as strong as Spezza, Heatley, Alfredson was in the past, and you can't rely on them for all the offense. And I mean, as good as Jonathan Chichu has been this past week, he's not really going to give us, I don't think he'll give us consistent secondary scoring, although he certainly has this week. We might as well talk about Chichu for a little bit, because it seems like a trip back to California really woke him up.
Yeah, no kidding. I think Chichu might have been our most consistent player during this road trip. You know, he set up both goals late in the Phoenix game, scored a goal in the Los Angeles Kings loss. He's been pretty good. And it's funny because he's playing with Kelly and Winchester right now. He's not up on a top line, but for whatever reason, he's been showing a little chemistry with Kelly, which is funny considering how neither of them has been generating much offense early in the year.
Yeah, neither of them for the first 2 months of the season would I have classified as a scoring tandem, but this week on the road they provided a pretty good amount of the Senators' offense, not quite half of it, but certainly a fairly regular and consistent amount. So, you know, if Chichu can keep up this play, certainly makes the Heatley trade look a lot more palatable to Sens fans, because, I mean, McCulloch has far and away already been a success, I think. He's just been outstanding for the first 3 months of season, and if Chichu can bring up his game a bit, well, then it just makes it that much better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that McCulloch was the blue chip of the trade, and I don't know how anyone watching him play cannot love the guy. But Chichu has been, I guess I would say Chichu's been working hard, right? And the liability of his game is his skating, but the effort has been there, and it's just now starting to generate some points. I hope he can keep that up, because, like you said, that makes it a lot more palatable to Sens fans. Although I strongly doubt that he'll be re-signed when his contract expires at the end of next year.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to step up his play if he gets really a contract anywhere in the league, because he doesn't have the scoring ability to be a top six forward, and he doesn't have the skating reliability to be a bottom six forward. So unless he picks things up significantly and is willing to take a fairly big salary cut, I don't know if he gets a contract after this current one's up.
Yeah, I would imagine that he's going to be taking whatever is one step above a two-way contract, right? You know, something for $900,000 someplace, and I think that's going to be his best offer. Unless, you know, he suddenly refines his Rocket Richard touch and starts putting goals into the net with regularity.
So we saw a four-game week this week. We got three games next week, starting against Montreal on Tuesday, then visiting the Flyers on Thursday, and with Carolina coming to town on Saturday. What are you looking for this week, Darren?
Darren's not here, Peter.
Sorry, Mark. I thought Darren was here. What are you looking for, Mark? I know what Darren's looking for later.
Darren's looking for the Kurgan. That's a Highlander joke.
That's another Highlander
joke. You know what? I'm looking for them to beat Montreal. You know, that's a division game. It's a winnable game. And, you know, it's probably too early in the season to call that a must-win, but that's a game that the team needs to win. Coming up against Philadelphia, you know, Philly just fired their coach. They're kind of in a tailspin. Probably a good time to catch that team, considering how they stomped us earlier. Maybe a measure of revenge against Emery and company. But Philly's a toss-up, and then Carolina, another winnable game. So I think this week I'm expecting to see at least 4 or 6 possible points. Anything less than that is a disappointment, and we know that this team is not going to make the playoffs if they don't earn points on the road.
I'm sure one other thing that you're looking to see is some strong play by Kovalev. He actually did, I found he played pretty well against Anaheim on Sunday night, but particularly against Montreal, he did pretty well in the team's first game against Montreal. I'd like to see him come back with some more strong efforts in those games and maybe put some consistency together. I don't know if that's asking too much from him, a guy who's probably never been consistent in his entire career, but it sure would be nice.
I'm with you. I'd like to see some consistent play, although I don't think he's played strongly in a really long time. I didn't particularly care for his game against Anaheim, just like I didn't care for his game against any of the teams on the road. It seems to me that Kovalev just has one move. You know, whether he comes down on the left side or the right side, he skates the defenseman, cuts off the inside pass, and he'll circle around the net. If it's on his backhand, he loses it and it goes back to the point with one of the defensemen. Or if it's on his forehand, he turns around and looks for a shot and then doesn't take one and loses the puck. The guy does not drive to the net at all. I can't remember the last time I've seen him in the front of the net. You know, he does all these dipsy doodle moves with the puck that generate nothing. He's a waste of $5 million, and I'm not saying that until he proves otherwise.
I'd say that's probably fair. Waste of at least some of that $5 million. Definitely worth a couple million, but not worth five, I don't think, the way he's playing right now.
He's not generating any offense. I mean, you know, occasionally he makes the ridiculous pass or the seeing eye goal, but I mean, how many times are we going to watch him skate around from one end of the net to the other and do nothing with the puck? It's wasted possession in the offensive zone. I mean, I guess it looks good for time of possession or some other meaningless stat, but he's not generating the points, and I think that Fisher, who's having a good year, is doing it in spite of Kovalev and not because of him.
That's probably a fair comment. Anyway, we might want to wrap this up. Excited for another week, hopefully one that's more successful than this past week. You've been listening to Silver 7 Radio, presented by Silver7Sense.com. Mark, it's been a lot of fun once again, and definitely talk to you next week.
It's always a pleasure, Peter. I'll look forward to it. We'll be talking about Sense 4-game win streak.
Awesome.